O Creator of all, Father, God, Lord, Jehovah, we praise your holy name. We lift up our hearts and worship to you this hour. We consider that you are the one who have laid out the heavens, rolled them out, and someday will fold them up as a garment. You have established the foundations of the earth so that it should not be shaken. And you have given us life and breath, and you have given us meaning. We praise your name for the sacrifice and the gift of your Son, Jesus, upon the cross. And we know that apart from him, everything would be lost. There would be no meaning to life. Everything would be void, for we all would be lost in our sins. But because of the blood that he shed on the cross, we have the promise of a home with you in heaven. Father, bless us this hour as we lift up our hearts in song. May we sing with the spirit and with the understanding. May the songs be a glory to your name. And may we be singing as if for eternity. We ask you to forgive us our sins. Wash us pure in the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name.
Song number 2. We're marching to Zion. Come. Song 73.
Oh, how wonderful it is to have a shepherd leading the way who's gone before us. And to every temptation and trial that we might see or might meet, he has had them before us, and he has lived the way he should and gives us the example that we should follow. 73.
The
The battle belongs to the Lord. We just have to fight hard. The victory's his.
Glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor. 781. I don't know about you. Sometimes when you ask for something to be announced for you and you ask for prayers, you wonder sometimes, do people really think about your prayer request when they go home? It's really obvious by the 20 different times every Sunday and Wednesday, Marissa and I get asked, did you guys do the scan yet? Did you just do the scan yet? It's really obvious that you guys really care. You really are thinking about Isaiah. The answer to that is, even though the doctor is the one that wants to do them, for some reason we have to jump through 20 different hoops, wait for 4 different phone calls, and who knows what else. But thank you, for everyone, for thinking about Isaiah. It's probably going to be a couple more months before we find anything out. And please pray for him every day. God said, guess once. I know he can. 781.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be saved. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and bless me the rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted.
I was thinking about reading the 119th Psalm. But for time's sake, let's read the second Psalm. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decrees of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall scatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he may not become angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Our Father in heaven, high and holy be your name. Amen. Help us, Father, to always reverence you, to treat you with the respect and the awe, Father, that is due to you and to you alone. Father, we come to you at this time knowing that you care for us very deeply. And Father, we recognize that you know what is best for each and every one of us. Father, there are many among us, and it seems to be almost epidemic, the dread disease of cancer that is floating around in our midst. With Jeff, with Keith, with Irma, with Bill Hall, Father, and those others that I'm not going to take the time to know, to name tonight, but Father, you know who they are, and we know who they are as well. Father, we would like to keep them with us. We would like to be able to associate with them far into the future. But if that not be your will be done. Amen. Father, be with us all as we go through this worship service this evening. May our heart's desire be to serve to you, to praise you, to extol your name, Father. And be with us as we go through this week, coming week. May the things that we do, the things that we say, be pleasing in your sight and beneficial to your cause. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 666, please. Troublesome
times are here, filling in hearts with fear. Freely all hold dear, now is the stay. Humble your hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, risen the way. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet there.
great day. We won't have to ask special prayers for people that are sick. And that'd be a great day. I look forward to it. Number 253. Number 253.
With a song,
share with all of you what, right quick like, that I have something that I do every Sunday morning together, and I had found some Church of Christ recorded singing on YouTube, and so they were like an hour long. They were when a congregation would have a singing, and they would record the hour of singing, and I just found out from Scott, I didn't know it, but thank you, Scott, that we have singing on our website. So I would encourage you all, just as the dare I throw down to you, next Sunday morning when you're preparing to come to worship, put that on in the background. I like to sing when I'm showering and sing when I'm getting ready, and singing songs of praise to God as I get ready to come here and praise God is a great, great warm-up.
Robert has written up here as an invitation song is number 629. Number 629. I really want to thank Brother Andrew for the readings he posts and the support he's given to the reading plan this year. And the most recent was Hebrews chapter 1. So I was doing some reflecting on that and thought I might just use that as our invitation tonight. So, how many read along in Hebrews 1? Great. You know, this Hebrews chapter 1 threw me off when, as a youngster, I read the King James, and I'm going, so what does sundry times and divers manner? I couldn't figure out what a divers manner was. Of course, what the King James is saying, at sundry times, at assorted times, and in diverse manners. But when you're reading and you don't catch on to that language that was used years ago, it kind of throws you off. But like the book of John, the book of Hebrews has a a very noble beginning when it writes, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, even in the revelation of God's word to us today, we have it put together in a better way. In the Old Testament, like it said, in sundry times, different times, and in different ways, they got little bits and pieces, and they pieced it all together. And even with that, they had an incomplete story. I always thought it was interesting that the Old Testament ends with this verse. Malachi chapter 4. The very last verse says, he will restore the... Let's begin verse 5. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. The last word of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was the word curse. What a downer. What a sad way to end. But we're told here that God now speaks to us through his Son. Now that's not like me saying, you know, to my son, go and tell someone this or someone that. We're talking about an individual who is so powerful, so wonderful, that he goes on to describe him as being superior to the angels. And he says that he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Like it says in the book of Colossians, in him all things consist. He upholds all things. He's the law of adhesion for the universe. He not only created all things, but he's the glue that holds all things together. And that, to me, is an amazing thing. And I'm not going to look at the whole chapter, but let's go down to verse 8. He's talked about the angels and how great they are. And lest we forget, you know, if an angel were to appear before us right now, we would probably all fall on our faces in trembling. And we would have a great deal of hardship even controlling ourselves in the presence of an angel. But there's something even greater than that, someone even greater than that. Look at verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So the throne of the Son of God is eternal. It's forever. He says, and you have loved righteousness, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. So his throne is eternal, and it is the righteous kingdom. Now, we see many kingdoms rise and fall, and for a time, they may abide in a degree of righteousness like our own nation. When it started, abode in a certain measure of righteousness. And while we abode within that measure of righteousness and godly principle, we continued to increase as a nation. But now in this time, when our own public schools tell children that are little boys, you're not little boys. Tell little girls, you're not little girls. Tell individuals, use whatever facilities you wish. And all of this confusion is going on, which is an affront to our Creator. Amen. You notice our nation is in the decline. But he goes on to say, The righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom, and you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. God hates lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. The kings, the prophets, and the priests of the Old Testament were anointed. They were anointed by men. And they were anointed within a limited capacity, an office that was limited to the length of their days. But we have one who has been anointed not of men, but of God. And we have one who's been anointed not for the limited span of a human lifetime, but for the span of his throne, which is forever and ever. And then he goes on with the oil of gladness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. You know, all of us, in the length of our days and times, we're persuaded that what we are seeing here and now is just going to go on and on and on, as if forever. And that's what the world thinks. How could this ball of dirt, how could the heavens over our heads ever come to an end? But the scriptures say, in the beginning you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. But then he says, they will perish, but you remain. They all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And so even though the heavens and the earth will end, and it hasn't been except recently that even science has concluded that this universe cannot exist forever, that it has not existed forever. Of course, they want to ascribe this mega time during which, you know, from the point at which a Big Bang brought it all into existence. But they have come to the conclusion that it had a beginning. And by the same token, they have a conclusion that when everything is through expanding, it's all going to fold back up. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what the scripture says, isn't it? That the heavens will be folded back up. And so God's word precedes the wisdom of men. It's kind of interesting if you think about it. The idea of expansion and contraction we might understand better. And they understood the idea of something being spread out. That's what the word heavens means, is the expanse, that which is spread out. It literally means expanding as if one beats metal and expands it, beating of, you know, and the expansion of it. And then the folding back up would be a way that they would understand it coming back together and being changed. Brother Speck led us in a song of just a few moments ago. He said, Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes again, this earth and this heavens, which we call our home right now, is going to be changed. It's going to be folded back up. And we're all going to stand before the throne of Christ and give account for our lives. I'm made to think, just quickly here as we draw this to a close, that there may be someone here just like Felix, before whom Paul spoke in Acts 26. Agrippa. In Acts 26 at verse 28. And Paul pled with him regarding God and the prophets and the truth that had been revealed. And he said, "Do you," verse 27, "do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." And Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time, you'll persuade me to become a Christian." Sad words. Sad words in a short time. Maybe there's someone here this evening who has that same thought. You know, if you keep on talking tonight, you might just persuade me to become a Christian. And there's another voice inside of your head saying, just sit still. Don't make any commitment right now. Just let this pass, and then you can put it behind you and not make any commitment. Don't do that. Don't be like Agrippa. Rather, be fully persuaded to become a Christian. And be fully persuaded to make that commitment to become a Christian and to live as a Christian tonight. Tonight's the opportunity you have. You don't have time. You don't have in a short time. You don't have in a long time. Because we're told in Scripture, one of these days, God's going to fold it all back up. And our decisions will be. If anyone's here who's subject to the gospel's invitation, the Lord invites you to take on his name, to make that commitment, to be buried in baptism, to wash your sins away, and to rise up as a new child in God, to live new life. If you're subject to the gospel's invitation, please.
Not let the word depart.